Now, this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to, someone once said it takes hearing something seven times to sort of catch it. Sometimes we'll make an announcement, and 25 seconds later, I'll ask one of the staff members on the platform, what was that announcement? And they said, what? Okay. And a lot of the Bible is review, okay? Now, what we're going to do this morning, okay, is we're going to re-communicate in a scriptural way, really in a sense, and of course there's a lot more to it, but we try to communicate it as clear as we can in a short amount of time. Is why are we here? And then why are we building a new building? Okay, why? Look, I mean, this is a lot of prayer and a lot of work and a lot of money and all this, and why? Why? Okay? And does everybody have one of these? Everybody got one? Who needs one of these? Raise your hand if you need one of these. I want everybody to have one of these. And then we're going to have, it's going to be a little different. Instead of the specials at the beginning, I'm going to have special music come up. Each special, I think there's three specials, two or three. Each special is going to, a song is going to go with the point or the principle that we're communicating. There are several reasons we communicate over and over the purpose of the new building. First of all, some don't even know why. They're new. Another thing is, one of these days, Brother Myers is going to die. Brother Panea said, Miss Alma and her new husband are going to be rich. By the way, let me give you some encouragement. Don't have too large of a life insurance policy, especially if your wife is a little younger. Anyway, I won't go there. You're going to be looking over the balcony of heaven going, ah, they just got a new Jaguar. We were driving around in an old clunker all that time. But one of these days, Brother Myers is going to die. And we're going to read about this in the book of Judges here in just a minute. And Brother Pineda is going to die. He said, amen. Brother Ray's going to die. Okay? And maybe Levy's going to sort of take over the Filipino ministry. The next generation. Okay? Then, let me see. Let's get all the young people are downstairs. Let's see. Who's a little younger? Let's get somebody young. A song leader. Who's a little young? Don't start, Chuck. Somebody a little, who's in their 20s here? Chris. Where's Chris McDermott? Where's Chris? Where are you, Chris? Right back there. He might take over the whole music outfit. So you got Levy, the Filipino ministry. By the way, this sermon's for you. Some of this is for you, Levy, if you're going to take over. Chris, music. Now, Brother Meyer's going to be going pretty soon. He's like close to the finish line. So who's another young guy? Brian, raise your hand, Brian. Brian, maybe you'll be like the key assistant pastor, okay? Now, one reason we keep communicating it is because I want, and I believe God wants us to keep on the same path that we are on now 25 years from now. Okay, and I know sometimes you say it gets redundant, pastor, and you know, wow, he's just saying the same thing. We do try to do it in a creative way. What has happened now, everybody wants to do something new, okay? The book is an old book, and we just need to keep to the old book, okay? So look at your outline, and we'll go quickly. All the scriptures are right there in the outline. Number one, and then we'll pray. The new building is first and foremost to glorify God. Please understand that. Okay, we don't compromise our honor to God to reach a community. You understand that? We don't compromise glorifying God to have a multi-generational vision. And the truth is you don't. It's sort of an oxymoron, but what people are doing, they're literally sort of putting God over here and saying, hey, God, hold on. We're going to take care of this our way, and then we'll put you back in it. No. Everything, whether we eat, it says right there, 1 Corinthians 10, 30, 31, whether therefore ye eat, shouldn't have said that one, or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Father, help us as we, as a church, we have guests here this morning. We pray that maybe they can catch the vision. If there's a lost person here, we pray they'd be saved. But help us to clarify, there's folks that have are going to give an offering, Lord, that you already know. There's many, many, many of us are going to make a one-year commitment. But why? Why? And Lord, help us to always have our motives, our purpose, our path, the direction in sync with your word and your will. And bless the truth of this message from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And that's simple. By the way, as we explain the purposes of the building, the next few purposes we'll understand even clearly. This number one, the new building, is first and foremost to glorify God. And I know it seems like it shouldn't be said in a church, or shouldn't have to be said over and over, but it has to be said. This is all for God. It's for God. We get busy. We get caught up, and sometimes we have nice friends or coworkers or fellow students, and the next thing you know it, we're pragmatic in our way of living. You know, it's like, well, if it works, listen, I'm going to serve God even if it doesn't work. And that's what Noah said. Noah basically said, look, we're going to build this ark because God's asked us to build it, and nobody got on but his family. But first and foremost is to glorify God. Look at number two there in your outline. The new building is to have a place to pass down our faith in Jesus and his word to the next generation. Who's singing May All Who Come Behind Us Find Us Faithful? Who's singing that? Come on up, Mallory. We're going to have you sing that. If you look at your scripture sheet there, and we've read this verse, but I want you to read another. We're going to read another one here. 2 Timothy 1, 1-5. Paul, it's right there on your scripture sheet. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, he's talking about Timothy's faith, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. You say, Timothy, your grandmother was a lady of faith. By the way, if you have a grandmother who's a lady of faith, you ought to praise God that somehow they passed it down. And it's not easy. It's going to be on purpose. Grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. Look at the next verse. By the way, this is what we desire. Brother Ray, Hannah's your oldest, right? Unfortunately, this is how it works. She's getting married to one of these bums out here. He said in 20 years. Now, here's what we want to do. As God's people, we want to obey and emphasize in God's way that our children and our grandchildren can serve God. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen on purpose. Look at Judges right there in your outline, Judges chapter 2, verse number 6. 2 Timothy 1, 1-5 would be our desire to see some Loises and some Eunices and then some Timothys, three generations. We have a few, okay? We have the Becks here, and we have Brother Kyle, and now they have four. Wow, isn't that fast? One day it was like just a few years ago, and they got four. That's three generations. Now, we want to see Noah. Noah's their grandson. We want to see Noah serving God. Oh, well, they're just in the church. No, on purpose. I'm going to tell you this. It's hard now. Unless we have revival in our country, it's going to be harder 5 years from now. And I would advise all of us, whether you move to Texas or you move to Mississippi, you better be in a good church that's thinking about the next generation, or your kids are gone. And if your kids are gone, most likely your grandkids are going to be triple gone. But that's our desire right there. Now look at Judges 2, and this is a sad commentary of what happened after Joshua and the elders, some of his contemporaries, died. And when Joshua, there in Judges 2, 6 through 12, had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. That was God's will. And the people served the Lord, listen now, all the days of Joshua. You have to have good leaders in the home, and you have to have good leaders that are influencing you. In our day, a pastor and assistant pastor and people in the church, good leaders. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So there were some that were probably a little younger than Joshua. And they outlived Joshua, but they did live during Joshua's time. So, you know, so the brother Myers died off, and then maybe the elders that outlived Joshua, maybe they were the brother Pinedas, okay, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. Now listen, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. That means they died. Now look now. And there arose another generation, Levi, Chris McDermott. Who else over here? James Rawl. Perry, don't be smiling over there. You too. Another generation. Here comes this next generation. Noah Beck. Matthew Beck. There arose another generation after them, now look, which knew not the Lord. Now this is the testimony that we do not want to have at Pacific Baptist Church. Okay? By the way, if all you do is take care of this generation, it's very likely you lose the next generation. We have to do what we need to do in a scriptural way to reach and keep and propagate and pass on multi-generationally. Which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. By the way, one reason we want to be a church on the offense so that we're seeking God to do something where we need God. One thing, somehow, we don't have the details. These people, these young people didn't see the works of the Lord. I want my children and your children and our grandchildren to see the works of God. We don't just want to hear about what Grandpa did. We want that. We want to hear about what Grandpa did, and we want to see what God is doing in this generation. The children of Israel, and there arose another generation of them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. So, oh, my kids won't follow other gods. Some of them are doing it right now. The god of money. The god of humanism. Well, you know, we believe God. We'll show up at church every once in a while, but I'm too busy because I am in charge of my destiny. That's a god, the god of humanism, thinking I really don't need God. I've got it all together. I have an education. I have discipline. I have character. No, that's a god right there. Followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them. Okay, that's the humanistic god we have today that's being propagated in the public school system, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. Come on up here, ladies. I want you to listen to the song. We want to prevent this. And what you say, what do we want to do? We want our children and our grandchildren to find us faithful so that we can pass down our faith to the next generation. And that is a big part of our new building. Ladies. Thank you, sister. Grab your song sheet, or not your song sheet, your scripture sheet there. And we said the new building's here to first and foremost to glorify God, and then to pass our faith to the next generation. And then number three right there is the new building will be a training center to send missionaries to the uttermost parts of the earth. Who's our special music for that one? Whoever special music is, why don't you come up here on the platform? Is that you, Tiny? Are you singing, Tiny? You're not? Okay, good. Who's Karina. Come on up, Karina. Michael, where are you, Michael? Raise your hand. Michael is a missionary of the Jewish people. He said, you know what, Pastor? He said, ever since I've started ministering and trying to win the Jewish people to the Lord, he said, I've had a special blessing on my life. Sort of unusual. Remember this, if you obey God's principles, you get special blessings. Now, we have a mandate from Jesus to get the gospel out, okay, and spread the gospel. And we sow and some water, and he gives the increase. But if for no other reason, we're going to do it because he said so, but he will also bless us for it. And I'll just tell you this. It's easy for a church to be, and I've heard this, and by the way, I understand some people say, well, do we emphasize too much missions and not enough here? Please let me say something. I don't know of a church in the world that overemphasizes missions. You say, why? It's Jesus' command. I preached a sermon months ago, maybe over a year ago. I said, if Jesus showed up today here in America, you say, what do you think? And I don't know. Who am I? You say, what do you think Jesus would come in the American church and say? I think what he'd say is, how come you guys aren't doing more over there around the world? How come you're not giving more? How come you're not praying more? How come you're not challenging your, you know, there's people over there that are waiting and begging and hoping and seeking the truth, and we have it here. We see in your scripture sheet right there, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach them and observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. But you should receive, by the way, all nations. That was before internet. That was before Skype. That was before email. That was before jet planes. Okay, and many of our spiritual forefathers got on sailboats, and they walked into the interior of whether it's a David Livingston or a Hudson Taylor on foot and on horses and on camels to go get the gospel to obey this command. But ye shall receive, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me read something and then have Karina come up and sing one song. We can't overemphasize getting the gospel around the world. And as a pastor, I know it's important that it stays in my mind and on my heart because that's the heart of God. And so I read and I study and I look at God's word and I meditate and then I read material that will motivate me to communicate to our people what is important to God. Because the commercials on TV aren't communicating what's important to God. The billboards and the pop-ups and all of the YouTube clips. This was a Chinese national asked Hudson Taylor, and I quote, on one occasion I was preaching the glad tidings of salvation through the finished work of Christ when a middle-aged man stood up and testified before his assembled countrymen to his faith in the power of the gospel. So this national man got up and testified. And he said, I have long sought for the truth said he earnestly, as my fathers did before me. These were lost people seeking the truth, but I have never found it. He said, I've traveled far and near, but without obtaining it. I have found no rest in Confucianism. By the way, nobody will find rest in Confucianism, nor Buddhism or Taoism. But I do find rest in what I have heard here tonight. Henceforth, this man got saved. I am a believer in Jesus. This man was one of the leading officers of a sect of Reformed Buddhism in Ningpo. A short time after his confession of faith in the Savior, there was a meeting of the sect over which he had formerly presided. He was a leader in this Buddhist sect in Ningpo. And had formerly presided, he said, I accompanied him to that meeting and there to this former co-religionist. He testified of peace he had obtained in believing. So he's at this meeting, and there were some of these people that were followers of this Buddhist sect. Soon after, one of his former companions was converted and baptized. Both now sleep in Jesus. The first of these two continued to preach to his countrymen the glad tidings of the great joy of the gospel. A few nights after his conversion, he asked how long this gospel had been known in England. He was told that we had known it for some hundreds of years. What? Said he, amazed. Is it possible that for hundreds of years you have had the knowledge in England of these glad tidings of Christ in your possession and yet have only now come to preach it to us? My father sought after the truth for more than 20 years and died without finding it. Oh, why did you not come sooner? A whole generation has passed away since that mournful inquiry was made. But how many, alas, might I repeat the same question today? More than 200 millions in the meanwhile have been swept into eternity without an offer of salvation. How long shall this continue and the Master's words to every creature remain unheeded? Come on up. Karina? Is Karina singing? Come on up, Karina. And I think, somebody? Anybody? Oh, girls, I don't know. Mystery singers. Think about the song. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to do? Go ahead and you can play. We're trying to get it in our souls. What are we doing? We're going to take up an offering here, and it's not just about the offering. It's about the will of God and the word of God and honoring and glorifying God. Okay, girls, come on up.
Her only child.
Thank you, girls. And that's in the new building. We'll have Judson School of Missions. By the way, there's never been a time where we've had more young people, not only young people, that are very, they're I don't want to say interested, like they're interested in buying a new car, but they're praying and they're seeking God's will about going to the mission field. I'm excited about that. I'm excited more about that than if I got a brand new Corvette. However, if you want to give me a brand new Corvette, I'll take it while we're praying for the missionaries. Amen? By the way, we want to have the heart of God. And appetites are changed. Some of us here, we're new and like, I can care less what's going on in Africa. Well, God cares. God cares. And sometimes I don't have the heart that God wants me to have, but I want to have it. And that's why we emphasize and we talk about it, and we have missionaries come in, and we pray about it, and we have music about it. We're here. The buildings to glorify God. It's for a multi-generational vision. By the way, it's to reach out to our Jerusalem here, and there's a lot that God is going to do in that new building right here in Jerusalem, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. And then lastly, and guys, if you can get ready for the lights on the patio and here in just a minute, we're going to turn the lights out. But the new building will be a training center for gospel preachers that will plant churches in America. Okay? And what's it say in your outline? That's the new building will be a training center for gospel preaching church planters to help save our country. And we see there Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. Yeah, some would say different things about Judea and Samaria. I would, in our context, Judea and Samaria is church planting because it's a little further than our geographic location can reach. Now, look up here just a moment. And we don't depend on our own hearts, but my heart is broken for America. Our country is in horrible shape. So how do you know? I hate to say it because Christians are in horrible shape. The Bible says we're the light of the world. You say, what's light? Light exposes darkness. You go in a room. I remember when we went into Chicago, early days when I was in Bible college, and you go in some of these apartments in Chicago, and it's dark, and you turn a light on, and cockroaches just vacate. You say Long Beach? Well, it all depends, you know, whose house you're at, I guess. See, what does light do? Light, when you have a lot of light out there, the darkness hides. Now the darkness is parading in our streets of our cities. There's not enough light out there. Say, what brings light? The gospel and teaching God's people to observe whatsoever Jesus commanded us. And not being too busy to do it. Moms and dads not being too busy to teach our children in our home the Word of God and to be clean and to be holy and to be pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be salt. You say, what does salt do? Salt preserves. There's been sin since the garden, but the Christians are to be the salt to keep the community and to keep our families and, God forbid, to keep our churches from spoiling. There's gay churches here in Long Beach. Brother Myers, I think, went with us. We went to hear an old preacher, Joe Boyd, and that church was a Bible-believing church. It's now a gay church. By the way, our stomachs and our hearts and our souls should turn. I'm not mad at the gay people. I'm mad at the devil. And we're supposed to hate sin. By the way, we some of us need to wake up and let God get a hold of our hearts and see what's going on in our country. It's horrible. Doesn't bother us anymore. I'm glad it still bothers me. Say, Pastor, what is the hope? The hope is Christ, but I believe really, practically speaking, you know what we need? We need more Bible-believing, new gospel-preaching churches in this country. By the way, it can't happen. I don't give up. Sometimes I want to give. Listen, my son and I, every once in a while, we say, North Dakota sure sounds good. Let's start our own little county, man. Just wait for Jesus to come back. We're serious. We just, you know, he shot me a picture yesterday. He said, hey, Dad, my wife and I are there walking over by the riverbed or around there, and there's, you know, just a little nice landscape. He said, hey, Dad, doesn't this look like North Dakota? I said, son, you know, maybe in a couple weeks we'll go to Bishop, and maybe that'll be a pacifier, just hang us over for 6 more months. By the way, I'm glad my heart is grieved. You say, why? Because I hope it'll move me to action. That new building, part of it is going to be the Stern School of Church Planning. You know what we want to do? Train. Wouldn't it be great? And I know you think, ah, Pastor, he's always dreaming. Well, at least I'm dreaming of something good. Wouldn't it be good if maybe our church could be just a little part of it? We're not trying to be, oh, it's our church, we're great. Just be a little part of maybe bringing a little revival to California. Oh, that'll never happen. You never know. The state of Virginia at one time had 45 Baptist preachers in prison for preaching the gospel. And that state had revival. You know, sometimes it just takes real darkness to wake God's people up. So, oh, Pastor, maybe the next the next election just might be worse. And quit complaining about our president. We voted him in. And if we just get a bunch of people saved and love God and love the Word of God, you know what will happen? We'll vote the right people in. So let's quit complaining. Let's go out and get some people saved. Get some people in the church of God so they hear the truth of God so they can become godlike. And maybe our families and our churches and our communities can become a little godlike. And that's part of that. Listen, we're not just here, oh, nice. Oh, I like the windows too, but after a while the windows are going to get dirty and we're going to ask somebody to come out here and volunteer on a Saturday to clean them. The window honeymoon will be over after a few weeks. See, what's that building? That building is a training center. It's a factory. To one of the purposes to train young men and maybe a couple middle-aged men and maybe a couple old men. By the way, I've said Daniel Marshall was 65 years old when he went to the state of Georgia to start the first church. Georgia now has the most Baptist churches in the whole country. See what I'm saying? Ryan, you're not too old. Amen. Thank you, Brother Stevenson. I think Brother Stevenson might go out and start a church. Thanks. Last time he was talking at our church here, he was asking me to be the one that does his funeral soon. Who's singing? Anybody singing? Brother Myers, you said, come on up, Karina. I saw you walking around somewhere. This will be our last song and we're done. You say, Pastor, what's the building for? Well, it's for our families. It's for Jerusalem. By the way, my wife told me this morning, that Northwest or Orange County has the largest Muslim population in the state. Is that true? Did you tell her that, Maria? Who knows? Maybe God's putting it in Joseph's heart. I'm not a prophet, but sometimes I just like to speak my mind. Maybe God's putting in Joseph's heart to reach the Muslims so that maybe he can go over there and be a part of the church to reach the Muslim community over there. Who knows? By the way, I don't make everything up. I just try to ride God's wave. I try to see what God's doing and say, man, let's jump on that thing. Man, I say, oh, Pastor, you're pretty smart. I'm afraid to take an IQ test. By the way, the lower your IQ, the more you need Jesus. Amen. Okay, sister, come on up and sing. You need this one. Oh, you got it.
The ocean wide and blue, they carried their cross, not caring the loss, so other souls could hear the truth. But the lights grow dim in America, and sin will be Savior sends his children forth to go to every land, to the islands of the uttermost, to find forgotten men. But the most forgotten mission field is within our country's shores. So who will go to America? She needs Jesus Christ the Lord.
Thank you, sister. Can we get the lights out? Brother Jeremy, are you ready back there? Okay. We've watched this before. Get the lights on the patio, too. I call it what if. What if? All the lights, guys, there you go. What if? There you go. And if we can, we're okay over there. They're watching television. How's the popcorn and Coke over there? Okay, why don't we stand? We're gonna close on that. If we get the lights, we'll stand together and bow our heads for just a moment, and say, Pastor, what's the invitation about? You know what the invitation's about? Let's pray, and let's just seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do all of I can to. By the way, some say, well, I'm not a parent. My children are all grown up, and maybe you can pass that faith down to your grandchildren. If I was a grandpa and grandma, maybe I didn't have the opportunity to train my